Welcome to the December 21st, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, So This Is Christmas. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Wow. We welcome you to College Park. We are so glad you are here for worship this morning. A few announcements we'll make before we get started in worship. We want to make sure who was here. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you to, for members and guests alike to take this, fill your name in and check the appropriate boxes. Pass that down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask that once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that'd be especially helpful. We also ask the first person who signed it on your pew, once it gets back to you, if you could take out those the pages that were used today, and so our ushers can pick those up quickly at the end of the service, that would be very helpful. A reminder, it is White Christmas here at College Park. We're doing that in a couple of ways. Many of our Sunday school classes have put together presents for families in our community. Also brought together grocery items. It is a reminder to those classes that are delivering your presents that when you pick up your food items there in Smith Hall, please don't forget there's a ham for each family in the refrigerator in the kitchen. So make sure that you pick up that before you deliver all of your presents. We appreciate all the work that so many people have done to make White Christmas possible. A reminder to those Sunday school representatives that during the service today, during the first hymn, that is when you will bring your White Christmas presents down, and you can put them under either one of the trees. That's when you bring your White Christmas gift a little bit later in the service. As soon as that hymn begins, you're free to bring those down. Reminder to our children that right after the White Christmas time, right after the first hymn, you guys are going to meet me right down front. So all the children come down for children's time. Let's see. Raymond, you got an announcement.
I want to recognize a couple of gentlemen, Jack Tuttle and Tyler Summers. Would you all come on up here? No one embarrass you, but I want to recognize you. You guys come on up wherever you are. I see Jack. Well, they're both in the balcony. They're high and lifted up. And so now they are running down the stairs. Back at Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I offered a challenge to some of the children during children's time. I told them about memorizing Psalm 100. And how it truly was a psalm of thanksgiving. And showed them in my Bible that what I received from memorizing that when I was about their age was a gold seal. And they weren't very impressed by the fact that that's all I got out of the deal was a little gold seal to put in my Bible. But that was a big deal for me. And so I thought, you know, that's tremendous. And we talked about, you know, turkeys being a symbol of thanksgiving, but also that the Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. So I challenged them to memorize Psalm 100. And if they would do that and come see me and say it for me, then I would have a special prize for them. And it would be a little bit more significant than the gold seal that I received for mine. Well, I'm going to give them a gold seal, but it's the seal of the United States on the back of a gold dollar. How about that? Is that good? Yeah, gold dollar for you. Ooh, from the choir. And I'm also going to give them, because they get a $50 bonus, Pastor Pal bonus for for memorizing scripture. So they each get a $50 Pastor Pal dollars. Yeah. And because we started this whole conversation with gobbles, they will also get gobbles for their very own.
Thank you, guys. Proud of you. We want to make one adjustment to the White Christmas. When you bring your White Christmas items down, we're going to put them right here in front of the poinsettias so everyone can see. So if you can make that one adjustment, that would be great. Reminder about a couple of things on our schedule. Tonight at 6, we are having our life service. That will take place in Smith Hall. That's our contemporary service, and we hope that you'll come be a part of that tonight at 6. We are singing, or the choir is leading us in the Hallelujah Chorus a couple of times during the service today, and Mary wanted me to make just a quick announcement about that. The first time will be during the call to worship. Now, sometimes we're used to standing up during the Hallelujah Chorus. We'd like for you to remain seated during the call to worship, because there'll be some things going on down front that we want everyone to be able to see. And then at the end of the service, the Hallelujah Chorus will be presented again during the response, and you'll be invited to stand at that time. So if you could just help us out with that, that would be helpful. I want to say a big thank you to all the family ministry team who helped make Jingle Jam possible this past Wednesday night. If you missed Wednesday, it was a special event for us. The kids had a good time, and the adults and the youth enjoyed watching the kids have a good time. And so I appreciate it. There was a lot of work that went into that, and I'm very grateful to the family ministry team for all their work to make that happen. And who knows, something like that may happen again. Let's see. I think that's all the announcements that I have. It is. We're very glad that you are here this morning. We, especially our guests. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Guests, you have already given us your information on the pew pads a few moments ago. We invite you, please, we'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, we invite you just raise your hand as our ushers start coming back down the aisles. If you're a guest, inside this packet that they're going to hand to you is a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, as well as a newsletter and a little bit of the story of College Park. And we appreciate you being with us this morning. You are our honored guest, and we are so glad that you are in worship with us. As we continue in worship now, I invite the Page family to come for Advent reading.
Good morning. This morning we'll be reading from Isaiah 40, chapter 1 through 7. This will be the Old Testament reading, if you didn't know that already. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of servitude is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway to our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity will see in it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out. Another said, what should I cry out? All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Indeed, the people are grass.
And from the New Testament, I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent us his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has for us. This morning we are lighting the candle of love.
Let us pray together. Father, that is our cry this morning. Hallelujah. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Messiah. You are the God who loved us enough to not leave us where we are, but to provide our Savior through your Son. It is His life, His birth, that we celebrate. It's only through His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, that we can even come into this place. He is the one that provides us hope and peace and joy and love, that gives us a reason to sing, that gives us a reason to pray, that gives us a reason to live. So we come into this place thanking you for what you did so many years ago. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on down right here. Have a seat. Have a seat right here. Come on down, Matthew. All right. Got a few more coming. Good, good. Hey, I have a question. How do you know when it's Christmas time? How do you know? It snows. We hope. We hope, don't we? That's right. That is a good sign for Christmas, all right? It's December, so we know when December comes on the calendar. The lights are on at your home or here at church on the Christmas tree, okay? Okay, the Advent wreath, that's a good sign. How else? Christmas tree, yeah. Going to go get the Christmas tree, okay? Ads on TV. Well, that could be Halloween. I mean, it starts so early. All right. But you're right. Ads on TV. It's time to go shopping, okay? The unwrapped toys, okay, that Santa brings that are around the tree. Okay. You know that it's Jesus' birthday. You know, there. One of the things that we talked about being a sign that it's Christmas, is the Advent wreath. You see that up there? Well, I've got a little one right here that I thought we'd kind of talk about for just a few minutes. You know, when Jesus came, there were a lot of signs. And one of the things that the angels came, and then they told the shepherds, and, you know, everybody, you know, Mary knew, and Joseph knew, and the shepherds knew, and the wise men knew. And you know what? I don't think everybody knew exactly, you know, what was Jesus going to do? And so we decided every Advent that we do, we put this Advent wreath up there. And there's a reason that we have, there are five candles up there and four that we lit this morning. I want to talk about those four this morning. Do y'all have, let me see, here's one. This is what, the first one we light is the candle of hope. And when we light it, we remember that one of the things that Jesus brings us is hope. That means that things are going to get better. That God is ultimately in control. Even when we have a bad day, God is in control. That's what hope is about. Okay, I think I got another purple one, Christian. Let me see. You got one here? This one is the candle of peace. Now, peace, that's a pretty good word, too. Sometimes we don't have this around Christmas time because things are crazy around our house. And sometimes we just get going all these places, and it's not real easy to be peaceful during Christmas. But Jesus comes so that we can have peace with God, that we'd be okay. If you ever have an argument with a friend or your mom or dad, and that's not very peaceful, is it? No. But it's when you're okay with God. That he's okay with you and you're okay with him, being at peace with God. There's a pink one right here. This is the candle of joy. You see that? The candle of joy. It's kind of like the pink one that's up there. Joy. What is joy? What do you think that's a... Happy. That's exactly right. Happy. Being happy. It could be kind of... Sometimes we think of being joyful as on Christmas morning when we get the presents. And that can be a pretty good thing. But being joyful is being happy kind of like all the time. No matter what happens, that you remember that God loves you. And that gives us joy. Okay, there's one more. The candle of... Anybody hear what they said this morning? What candle is it? Candle of love. That's exactly right. Every time we light one of these, and especially the candle of love, we remember that the reason Jesus came was to show us that God loves us. So we have the candle of hope, the candle of peace, the candle of joy, the candle of love. And these are the signs that I want you to remember when Jesus came. These are the things that he wanted us to see. The middle one. What is the middle one for? It's Jesus. And so on Christmas Eve, when you come back for church, we're going to light that middle one. And that it reminds us that Jesus came. Not only did he bring these things to us, but he came himself to show us how much he loved us. Okay? So candle of hope, candle of peace, candle of, let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of Jesus who brings us hope and peace and joy and love. Help us to remember that even when Christmas, we kind of remember, you know, it gets really busy sometimes and we're doing all these things and we forget that Christmas is really all about Jesus and what he does for us. Help us to remember that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
We've already heard from God's Word this morning as Don and Ward read from the Old and the New Testament relating to the love candle lit today. I'll continue our reading first from the Old Testament in 2 Samuel as we read and hear about God's promise and the Christmas story as God's promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I'll be reading first from 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Feel free to read along in your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. From 2 Samuel 7, this is God's promise to King David. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying,
Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And from the New Testament in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, as we read Luke's words about how that promise of God to King David continues to be foretold in the birth of Jesus. From Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word.
How lucky. How lucky I consider myself to be a member of College Park Baptist Church, a vibrant church, a church that really and truly believes in the true meaning of Christmas. And I want to thank our staff, our workers, and everyone for the way that they have presented this. And may we never, ever lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas. And will you join me as I pray? Dear Heavenly Father, in all of the hustle and bustle of the season and the commercialism of this occasion, may we never lose sight of the fact that Christmas is really a time to celebrate the beautiful gift you sent to us in the lowly manger many centuries ago. A gift of love, your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down to walk and to talk and to teach us all about loving and forgiving. For this gift, we are truly grateful and thank you so much. For the many ways in which you have blessed us, we thank you. And Father, as we return a portion to you, we thank you for being so patient and so good to us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. A new one just begun. So this is Christmas. I hope you have
generation ago, John Lennon and Yoko Ono sang a brilliant rhetorical question, and the version you've just heard is actually a remake for a new generation by Sarah McLachlan. And the first line, in case you missed it, was, "And so this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year older, a new year just begun, or a new one just begun." And that's a good question. You know, so this is Christmas. What have we done? What are we planning to do once Christmas Day is behind us? You know, we have all the preparations, and Advent is about preparation. The preparations, the buying, the wrapping, the cooking, the baking, the decorating, the partying, and all that's good. I enjoy that. I enjoy all of that. But where is all of that leading us? If it's just to a single day or a single hour of celebration, then for me, it just seems a little bit hollow. If it's just about a single day. You know, amongst all the traditional stories that we have about Christmas, and we know and we love these all very well, there's in there hiding amongst the tinsel and maybe even the straw in the manger is the text I'm going to read this morning, which is actually part of our lectionary reading. It's from Romans chapter 16, and it's verses 25 through 27. Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." These are the final verses of a remarkable letter that we went through this fall. We preached through and taught through the book of Rome, and it's a closing benediction. And if you think about it, if you read that, you go, "Well, preacher, what are you doing? This is Christmas. You're supposed to read Luke chapter 2, right? We'll come back Christmas Eve. You'll get Luke chapter 2. But this morning, I want us to learn from the teaching that Paul's giving us on what we might start to act like on December 26th and beyond. Because if next Sunday we come together and Christmas is as much a memory as the ornaments that we've packed up and put on the shelf, then we haven't celebrated Christmas. We've just given it lip service. And if you look at what Paul is teaching us, sandwiched between the opening lines here, it says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel," and jumping down at the end where it says, "To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ." Between those, sandwiched between those, Paul gives us a brief explanation of the reason for Christ's birth. Now we know from the love candle this morning, we know that the primary reason for God sending Jesus, we've got it right there in John 3:16, right? "For God so loved." He loved. And Paul followed up in that in Romans chapter 8. He says, "Nothing can separate us from what?" The love. Exactly. So that is the primary reason. We know that. But Paul has come to reveal other things. He says, Jesus has come to reveal the mystery of God in an exciting new way. And this way is for all nations. For all nations, and hopefully will bring about the obedience of faith, as it reads in another translation. So to put it another way, Jesus has come so that everyone can know God and respond appropriately or accordingly. To know God and respond appropriately. You see, there's a point to Christmas that goes far beyond a day or even a season. And which does nothing less than transform the world completely and forever. That's what God's plan was. And it's what Mary proclaims in the bold and prophetic verses of the Magnificat. God has done great things, and God's mercy is on all from generation to generation, she's saying. Why? Why? Because justice and mercy are God's very nature. That is who he is. He promised what he would give. And as we think about Christmas, I mean, undoubtedly, we see under the tree, and we see in front of us, we think about gifts, don't we? We think about things that have been given. Now, I don't know where you are in this. You may be at the point where you're going, oh my, I've overdone it again. Another year, and I have overdone it. Or you may be at the point where you're frustrated. You're trying to think of that perfect gift for the someone who has everything, or at least that's your impression. And so you're frustrated thinking, what can I give this person? Or maybe you haven't even started yet, and that leads to a whole another level of stress, and you're thinking about, how am I possibly going to get all this shopping done? I've got gifts to buy, and I haven't started. Well, I don't want to add any more stress to your life. Trust me, that's not my goal. And this whole gift-giving thing, I do want to throw out one thought, though. There's one present that all of us need to give, and maybe we haven't thought about this gift amongst the bustle of the other gifts, and that gift is, what gift is it that you're going to give God after Christmas? After Christmas. Young people, what gift are you going to give God? What are you going to give Him? Adults, what gift is it that you're going to give God? Children, what gift are you going to give God? What is it that you think that you can give God? What gift will you give to God after Christmas is over? Now, if we're going to celebrate, I mean, Advent leads up to, if we're going to celebrate the gift that God has given us, new life in Christ, if we're going to celebrate all of that, then we ought to give in return, right? So what are we going to give? You know, as we celebrate the gift of grace that God gives to each one of us, it's a free gift. How do we show our gratitudes? We give our hearts. We give ourselves, we give who we are. Paul reminds us that Jesus came to challenge us, as he says, to live out our faith. To give our whole being in response to what God has done for us. That should be our gift to God. In response to what he's done. See, we seem to understand that well through the Advent season. I mean, we do. We get that. Typically, we get that. You know, this time of preparation, amidst all the, probably the biggest spending frenzy of the year, and in spite of what economists are telling us about our economic situation in America, I mean, spending is at an all-time high. And you look around you, yesterday, I think it was yesterday and Friday, the radio stations, local radio stations, did you hear about this? A lot of the triad radio stations, they came together, they put aside the competition for ratings and all that stuff. They came together at the fairgrounds, and then I think on yesterday it was over at Greensboro Coliseum. And the purpose of that, all the radio personalities came together in one place, and they said, come meet us and bring food. There are starving people that need food. So bring a contribution of food and it will go to the Second Harvest Food Bank. That's incredible. What a tremendous sign of the season. On December 9th, I don't know if you saw the story there on the evening news. It was talking about the Salvation Army and how much money they continue to collect. That people are just giving beyond themselves, almost in response to the financial crisis. People are trying extra hard to give. And it told what was kind of a sad story, actually, about a counterfeit $100 bill that had been placed in one of the kettles. I see a few heads nodding. You saw this story. And they were speculating, did the person who gave it know it was counterfeit? And if so, it was pretty cruel. But perhaps they didn't know that it was counterfeit. And they were really trying to give something genuine. But the bottom line is, it was counterfeit. It was of no use to him. Well, somebody else, the next night, on December the 10th, the news ran a follow-up story. They said, you remember our story from last night about the counterfeit $100 bill? Well, somebody was moved by that. And not only were they moved emotionally, they acted upon that feeling. And they went and put a genuine $100 bill in one of the Salvation Army kettles. I think it was over in Greensboro that happened. But somebody acted upon a feeling of generosity. They acted upon it. And here we are. Look in front of you. This is the representation of what's going on in Smith Hall. We see the white packages here, but it's just representative of what's going in Smith Hall with all the boxes lined up and all the food that is going to be given, the clothes, the gifts, the presents for families all over our community. And that is fabulous. It really is. And Paul would say, wonderful. But it's not just social action for social action's sake. Why is it that we do that? So that all nations might believe and obey him. That's Paul's take on it. Something else happens this time of year that I think is pretty unique as well. This is maybe the only time of year that Christians sing hymns publicly. Think about it. Everywhere you go, Christmas carols are playing. And a lot of those Christmas carols come right out of our hymn book. And even if you don't think you can sing, you sing openly at Christmas time. And as I wrote the sermon, I thought, there's no such thing as bad Christmas caroling. Then I remembered one incident where there was. There really was. It was bad Christmas caroling. It really was. But in theory, at least, there's no such thing as bad Christmas carolers. Because this is the season of year where we're also supposed to be very forgiving of other people's shortcomings, right? So this should be the time of year when all of us sing Christmas carols openly. There's a special thing going, I think, beginning this afternoon. I don't know the details on it, but you can look it up. Because I heard on WBFJ as we were getting ready this morning about something called Christmas for the City. That's going on beginning today, and it's down at the Millennium Center, so I don't have the details, but I would say it would be a wonderful opportunity to hear good Christmas music, maybe an opportunity to invite co-workers there to begin introducing the subject of what Christmas is all about. What is Christmas all about? It's about God's gift to us and our response to that gift. But what is the nature of our giving for the next 11 months? How eager are we to proclaim our faith in song or spoken word once December 26th arrives? Charities will tell you that once this whole spirit of Christmas fades, that typically contributions begin to decline. Many people talk of January blahs. And I don't know, maybe January blahs come in part at least from that point. You know, I was saying that maybe you're at that point where you feel like you've overdone it. Maybe in January we began to realize by looking at our checkbooks and credit card statements that we have overdone it. That may have something to do with it. But also there is a day well documented, and the term is called Blue Monday. And that is the last Monday of January. And it's documented because it's been noted that on that day, in the Northern Hemisphere, that is the time of year when people typically hit the darkest depression, just because it seems like it's dark all the time, and it's cold, and it's damp, and it's just bad weather, and depression kind of sinks in. And this is less than a month after Christians have boldly proclaimed that the light of the world has come. There's something about that that just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get that. Something wrong with this picture. You know, as a child, I remember thinking it was kind of novel and kind of cute when I heard people say, Merry Christmas, after the 25th was over. I mean, after I'd ripped into my packages, the next day people are saying Merry Christmas. I'm like, boy, isn't that they're kind of a little late. They're just quite not on the ball. And sometimes they would do it as late as New Year's Day. They would wish you Merry Christmas. But you know what? Now, I've come to understand, and I've come to appreciate that custom, and even encourage in it. You know, I wish Merry Christmas could extend for weeks and weeks and weeks. And if you think about it, there's really no reason why it can't extend for weeks. The season of celebrating God's gift and responding to it doesn't end on the 25th. It begins on the 25th. Dare to keep your tree up as long as you can within fire code. You know, dare to keep your tree up. Be bold. Keep playing your Christmas CDs. And if you don't have one, Cindy Johnson's got one. It's a good one. Okay? Keep playing your Christmas CDs and sing along with them, even in public. But most of all, keep thinking of ways that you can give of yourself to others as a way of giving back to God. A century before John and Yoko came along, or Sarah McLaughlin, or anybody else, there was an English poet named Christina Rossetti, and she offered these words. What can I offer, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise one, I would do my part. Yet what I can give, I give him, give my heart. May we do the same this Christmas and beyond, and thus enact what Paul called the obedience of faith, and thus glorify God forever and ever. Merry Christmas today and for many days to come. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we don't understand the full nature of your love for us, which prompted you to give the gift of your only Son. And as we anticipate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Father, we attempt to respond to that outpouring of love that you've placed upon us. Father, we pray now that as your children, we would be good receivers of the love that you extend to us, but that we would also be good givers of your love extended through us. Father, help us to make a difference, not for our own glory or recognition, but in response to how you've given to us. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful more than words can express, more than any song can even express, for the gift of Jesus Christ. God became flesh, dwelling among us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, we want to extend to you the Christmas message. Peace on earth, joy for all men, hope in Jesus Christ, and the love that God extends through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you haven't responded to the gift that God has offered, we want to give you that chance. I'll be here at the front as we stand and sing in just a moment. And if you would like to pray to receive Christ or publicly proclaim that you have already done that, I'll be glad to receive you and talk with you about that. If you're a believer and maybe you've just been a little bit caught up in all the stuff of Christmas and have failed to respond to the perfect gift of Jesus Christ, you can certainly pray and ask for God to set you back on track where you are, or you can come here. The altar on the sides here will be open. You're welcome to come pray here. If you're here and you would like to talk with me about becoming a member of College Park Baptist Church, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you, and we'll talk about that. Whatever you would like to decide, or whatever the response to worship this morning, I invite you to do that as we stand and sing together. Let me ask you to remain standing. Matthew, come join me, buddy. This is Matthew Goodman. Most of you know and have seen him grow up here at College Park, and he's coming this morning to let you know that he has accepted Jesus Christ, and he wants to make that public, and he wants to take the next step and follow the Lord's example in baptism. So he comes this morning to let you know about that and let you be excited about that with him. So if you'll pray for him and encourage him and shake his hand and come up and hug him when we get done here in a minute, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. I hope you will do that. I also hope you'll come back tonight for a live service at 6 o'clock. It'll be in Smith Hall. Should be a great time of Christmas celebration as we prepare for Christmas Day. Let's close together in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, the worship of this day. Father, we pray now that our hearts have been changed and that will be reflected in the actions of this week and in the weeks to come. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.